Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's today's STEM tip. Make your selfies look even better with science. Take your pics at golden hour right before the sun sets. The wavelengths made by the atmosphere create a perfect golden light for that beautiful face of yours. Learn more at Chic and STEM. A message from the Ad Council.
River Cafe Table 4 is a brand new podcast with me, Ruthie Rogers. Each week, I invite a special guest such as Paul McCartney, Glenn Close, or Michael Caine to discuss their food memories, what they cook, the restaurants they choose, and the food they seek when comfort is needed.
Years ago, it was sausage and mash.
Yes.
Now it's caviar.
Oh, okay. Listen to River Cafe Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's funny they haven't, since men are in charge, and this is a patriarchy, and all the scientists are men, and all the rich people are men. If we haven't beaten baldness by now, it's over. They fixed like limp dicks, but they can't fix baldness.
Yeah, it's like, totally true.
It's never getting better.
Yeah, speaking of James Bond, there was a bald bad guy in James Bond, Blofeld.
Of course, baldness is vilified.
Yes, oh, yeah, that's
right. It's always been a sort of like, you're like some being that lives beneath the earth.
Yeah, you're like some human mole man.
Yeah, you're a monster. Like,
you're a monster if you're bald.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor's whole thing is that he went bald and that's why he's a villain. You guys talked about that already? Probably.
No, but we will. If you didn't know it yet,
into it
out there in podcast land. You're listening to the hit podcast, Bald Talk.
You're in the middle of a bald talk.
You're in the middle of what you just dropped into the middle of a bald talk.
That's right.
This is Bald Talk, the podcast where two bald comedians interview bald celebrities about being bald. I'm Charlie Sanders.
And I am Brian Husky, and I am bald. And I wanted to ask you, Charlie.
Yeah.
You shave, right?
That's right. I'm a shaver.
You're a shaver. But have you had any progression in your hair loss?
I feel like there was a quick phase in my early 20s. It was like 21. I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go bald. I had a bunch of bald relatives. I didn't feel that bad about it. So there was a progression between like 21 and 24 maybe.
Right.
And then since then I've been the exact same amount of bald.
Yeah. Mine has been very, very slow. And I can tell when I'm about to lose a zone because that part gets itchy.
Okay.
You get kind of itchy and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But recently my daughter was like staring at the top of my head. And that's another thing. It's sort of like the equivalent of like breast. I can tell when people are just checking out my baldness, not connected. They're like, oh, bald, look at that weird thing.
Yeah.
But she was like, ew, you just lost a bunch of hair recently. You're going more bald? How is that possible?
Kids are very sensitive.
12-year-olds are loving, empathetic creatures. Do not crush you.
We're going to introduce our guest in 1 second, but Brian, you brought this up. And when we were initially spending hours of our lives that will end someday at a bar talking about what we would do on our podcast, Bald Talk, you said that you had been on a date where you saw the lady realize, somehow she, your picture on the site or whatever hadn't, she didn't know you were bald, and she showed up at the date and you saw her be disappointed that you were bald.
Yeah, it was a kind of like, hi, I'm Brian, eye contact. Maybe I was smiling and then kind of slowly go
the
up.
Eyes
and,
go up.
Yeah, and the date face kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And then it was just that kind of like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. I'm just, what am I going to do to get out of this? And then I just bailed on that point too. Cause like, oh,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was like, oh, if you're going to be like, yeah. I'm not going to hang out with a baldist. I don't need to do this. Like, if you're not psyched, get out of here.
On behalf of bald men, thank you for standing up for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Thank you. That's our guest that we have today.
Oh, guys.
Brian, to be fair, I introduced the last guest. Would you like to introduce this one?
I would love the opportunity. All right, guys, gather around because our guest today on Bald Talk is a gifted actor, writer, and improviser affiliated with the Upright Citizens Brigade. He is known for his work on TBS's Wrecked, NBC's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Earwolf podcast Comedy Bang Bang. He is an author of an excellent book on improv called How to Be the Greatest Improviser on Earth.
Right.
And he has his own podcast called Screw It, We're Just Going to Talk About Comics, which he does with his brother, who is also bald.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Will Hines.
Thank you.
Will,
oh, man. What a
welcome
nice
to
intro.
Bald Talk.
Thank you so much. I can't wait.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
I want to jump right into this, the deep bald soup here.
Okay.
You have two younger brothers.
That's right.
Correct?
One is 5 years younger than me and one is seven.
Okay. I have two younger brothers. One is 3 years younger. One is 8 years younger. Okay. Now, both your younger brothers are bald, correct?
They're bald.
Both my younger brothers, giant, beautiful heads of hair.
No. Oh, yeah.
What is it like to love your brothers and respect them?
To feel on equal footing.
It's great. And I absolutely would not if they had hair. I'm short. I'm 5'7", or I feel like I'm short, and they are both 6 feet tall, and so I do resent them for being like tall,
right?
And I am like below average height. Like my dad's tall. All the men in the family are tall except for me.
Yeah,
and it drives me nuts. So if they had hair, I would end the relationship. The brotherhood would be over.
Did you guys start at the same time? When did it start for you?
Yes, it started for all of us in our early 30s, and so. Later than you, right, Charlie?
Yeah, I was early 20s.
So like early 30s, it was just sort of like, you know, receding hairline. It already was starting to look like a comb over.
Right.
Had to start cutting it short. But then I had the sort of like Tim Conway back half of my head still had a lot of hair for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But then that went, by 35, it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe even 34. And for both my brothers, the same age. And my youngest brother is sort of fit and like works out, and I noticed early on he shaved his head. He just kind of gave into it, and I think he needed it to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
But my middle brother is more of a schlump like me and sort of lets it just kind of be like long stringy hair sometimes, relatively speaking.
When I was losing it and stuff, I was like, you know what? Really physically fit guys, you don't notice it. Like I was thinking in terms of like,
I don't notice it. I always thought
Picard. Like Picard's always so trim and stuff that I'd be like, man, his baldness looks great.
It feels like another muscle. It just looks like another muscle.
Oh,
in your,
you're so right. That is key.
Yeah, his head is just like a bicep that went up through his brain.
He's flexing out.
Just looks so good. But I've never been able to be in shape. But I always thought like, well, if I ever got like trim. My baldness would look great.
Statham?
Of course.
You have that medical condition where you can't be in shape.
I can't.
Right?
Yeah. No, no matter. It's not out of laziness or lack of attention.
Hard.
Just like my muscles stay soft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And my gut, if I lose my gut, I die.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to hear that.
That's something I've decided because whenever I diet or exercise, I feel bad.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think that is a condition.
Yeah.
But I wished I could be in shape to offset the baldiness.
Yeah.
Dating apps is a nightmare. Dating apps is a nightmare to be bald on a dating app.
Oh, really?
I'm on dating apps and I get, there's probably other reasons too. I get so little attention on them. I mean, it's bad.
Do you think baldness is a factor of that?
I hope so. I would hate for it just to be there reading my personality through the pictures and saying no for that reason.
But you're in your little profile thing, you're funny, I assume. Right?
Yes.
Because that is definitely
maybe not enough. I should probably amp it up. Maybe you could punch it up for me.
Now I've been in a relationship since before dating apps became a thing. Mm. So I've never used a dating app. Now, do you feel like do you take a picture for it, or do you just use like your headshot?
I took a picture.
So do you feel like you gotta like feature the bald head in the picture?
Yeah.
You gotta be honest
because it's such a huge factor.
Yeah, because I mean, I had a lot of pictures where a hat on. I'm like, I look good in this. And I was like, that's another hat picture.
I feel like you got to be honest about it.
So I could do 50-50 when I was doing it.
Why is this guy wearing a beret in his dating app?
The amount of honesty in dating app pictures is a real interesting thing because I think you're allowed to put flattering pictures up, but it's got to look like you.
They
can't be like shocked when they see you.
totally.
I mean, I feel vice versa also. But so the baldness is in display. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
Have you had, I had my little dating thing. Have you had gone to the date and they've just been like, you can sort of tell that they're like scrutinizing or checking out, or it's like,
I don't think I've ever had eyes up to the bald head. The general moment when they first see you and you get to see them take that in is one of the most traumatic moments of my adult life. Even because I see them basically, I'm 49. And so you're dating in middle age, I think, is a whole series of just settling on everybody's behalf.
Yeah,
me
totally.
Too.
Yeah.
Everybody just like, so I see their eyes kind of go,
I can work
all
with
right.
that.
Okay. Yeah. I should. Like I see them just sort of like, God. I guess
seems like a good person.
I guess I'll have dinner and see what this is.
Yeah. I honestly like there.
And I feel myself do that too.
Yeah. My thing is like, there've been moments that are like, okay, we're face to face, we're engaging, I'm charming, whatever. It seems we're working, and it's like, I have to go to the bathroom. She's now going to see the trough in the back of my head, which is the kind of U-shaped, like, yeah, lack of hair, which is my least favorite part because it's kind of uneven. It's,
I know,
a little
the front,
weird.
The front baldness I don't mind as much as back baldness.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
When I first saw myself in a security camera, like in a bodega in New York, and could see how big my bald spot was,
yeah,
I mean, my stomach dropped.
Yeah.
Like, it's a viscerally sad moment.
It is. There's a La Poubelle bar in Los Angeles. They have, the bathrooms have mirrors on all the walls.
Right.
Mm. So when you go in, for me, it's just like a hair checkup reckoning. I'm always just like, oh, wow. I really didn't know that was going on. And that's weird. Like, got this weird little,
I pictured my bald spot just like a lens flare on the back of my head. Like this just little thing. Mm. And then it was just like a huge moon-like crater.
Yeah.
Where I was way more bald than I ever. And this is like when I was 33, I first saw that. And I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
I am a bald man.
But the interesting, and I have this a lot. And the other day, me and another bald person were joking about our baldness. And somebody else is like, don't be so hard on yourselves. Like, someone rushed to our defense.
That's amazing.
It was really just like,
you're like,
don't
defend me.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, listen, you're okay. It's like we're handicapped or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's fine. Like,
yeah. We actually were okay. Yeah. Maybe now I feel bad.
You've made it awkward for us.
Talking bald,
This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. Football is back, and the best bet you can make is downloading the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It doesn't matter if you're new to gambling or an old pro, FanDuel has something for everyone. And as an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you know your bets are safe. There's also never been a better time to use FanDuel, because right now, you'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. You can even turn a small wager into a big payday with a same-game parlay bet. Just sign up with the promo code Spotify to place your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
River Cafe Table 4 is a brand new podcast with me, Ruthie Rogers, founder and chef of the River Cafe in London.
I'm Ray Fiennes. And I'm having an affair with the River Cafe.
From family suppers to first dates, each week I invite a special guest to discuss their food memories, what they cook, the restaurants they choose, and the food they seek when comfort is needed.
Years ago it was sausage and mash.
Yes.
Now it's caviar.
Oh, okay. And on each episode of River Cafe Table 4, guests like Paul McCartney, Glenn Close, David Beckham, Jake Gyllenhaal read their favorite recipe from one of my River Cafe cookbooks.
I'm Jake Gyllenhaal, and there is truly nothing like Ruthie's slow-cooked tomato sauce.
Listen to River Cafe Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a story that captivated the nation.
Two brothers and their sister are on the run from authorities tonight.
Three close-knit siblings known as the Dougherty Gang go on a 15-state crime spree evading police for 8 days.
Police say the trio have a stockpile of weapons.
Dylan, Ryan, and Lee Grace had nothing left to lose.
They're like modern-day Bonnie and Clyde.
Now, for the very first time, exclusive interviews with the Doughertys from behind bars.
This call is from a federal prison.
My sister's the crazy one.
I was working at 2 different strip clubs doing a very large amount of drugs.
My brother's the muscle. The last time I spoke to my dad, he told me, look out for your little brother. Something I really took to heart. The youngest is the brain.
How far would you run for your freedom?
There's some things that you just can't take back. You've already started this party. You might as well have fun. And that's what we did.
Listen to the Dougherty Gang every Monday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Only on Bald Talk.
Well, I've never had the trough because even now I have like a little bit of stubble on my head. That's pretty long for me. Ever since it hit me, I was just like, eh, fuck it, I'm bald. And I embraced it, and I've shaved my head ever since, so... That relieved me of having to experience the holy shit look at my bald spot.
I have to get better about, I have to move into shaving the zones that are over, you know, the zones that have fallen. I have to like really be more disciplined about, I like it better when it's just 100% clean. I don't do it and I want to get better about doing it. I think it looks better. I think there is an honesty to it. When I see guys in their like early 30s who are, they have a clearly receding hairline, but they're still letting their hair be long. I feel bad for them. I'm like, it's not long for you, son.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of, when I see somebody newly cut their hair short and give over to it, I'm like, I want to embrace them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome to the land of honesty.
Yeah.
Well, as a shaggy, I'll call myself a shaggy.
You're a shaggy.
More of a shaggy. I lean towards
You're a long-sighted hippie.
Yeah, I'm a long-sighted hippie. I don't mind that. For me, it works, but like,
if you have hair in the zone, yeah. Let it fly, brother.
Yeah, but it's I get into a lazy place where I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I'm seeing someone and she's like, I like it when it's kind of like that. Like I've had women have sort of admitted this like Larry David thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
My ex-wife was like, can I tell you something? It's like, I think Larry David's really sexy. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Thank God.
So there's definitely kind of, I don't know if these people have like a 70s fantasy or something.
That's amazing. 70s fantasy.
I never would have thought LD would be a sex symbol.
I know.
Oh, man,
By the way, Larry, if you're listening, open invitation for the podcast.
Come on
anytime.
Now. Listen, I feel like you would be really, just really honest about things.
My youngest brother and I used to call it an honest haircut when we were in the transition period.
Right.
And it happened for me 7 years earlier than him. Because you could go through a period where you can let your hair get a little long and try to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd be like, no, we want to be honest. And Charlie, it sounds like you were very early in this process.
Yeah,
you went to full shaving.
Yeah.
I knew you when you still had hair.
Yep.
And I remember that transition.
Yeah.
It looks like a choice when you go to full
shaving. Yeah, totally.
But let me put it this way. You're saying it's honest, but I would say that you're being more honest. Like if you have hair and then because it really highlights how the lack of hair, if you have more hair to sort of like balance it. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So guys, I just want to say like, as far as like a political perspective on this or, you know, what your camp is, we can't say one is honest and one is dishonest.
Well, I think you're still honest.
Yeah.
Because there's no mistaking that you are bald. I'm talking about like the receding hairline.
Yeah. Well, that level of like vanity is fascinating to me where people will just create the veil.
And the thing is, maybe it's not always so obvious because maybe I've seen people that do the veil and not known it, but every time I see
a comb over,
comb over or just some kind of like, you'd grow it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I
think because in the mirror, when you're looking dead on and you subconsciously arrange your pose, it looks okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But then in real life, it just instantly looks so much worse. That's why when you look in those security cam mirrors or in those La Poubelle mirrors, the truth is revealed.
Yeah.
And you'll never go back. You'll cut that hair short.
It's funny. It feels like the La Poubelle mirrors are like the most truthful place on planet Earth.
It might be. For so many people.
Yeah.
To do cocaine in there.
Yeah.
One, to look at your hairline.
Those are the Don Quixote mirrors for
yeah,
bald
they,
guys.
They show you the real
that the
you.
The windmills are just windmills.
Did you ever? Did you ever have a moment where you're like, well, you know, maybe I'll try some of these medications?
I was going to ask. Yeah, I thought about because you know, early 30s, I still had some. You know, I thought about Propecia or something, and I've heard that it works. Or I know of people who have had they take it and they still have their hair, but basically the side effects just kind of bummed me out, and I didn't want to hack my body.
Yeah,
for cosmetic reasons.
Yeah, I had.
I did like an internal math where I was like, if your body wants to go bald, it so powerfully wants to go bald, I don't want to get in the way of whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, if it was easy to fix, if it was like, oh, yeah, you take this, like, vitamin C and
your hair grows back,
I would do it. But it seems like you are reversing very primal gears of your body's thing, and I'm scared to mess with it.
The thing that was always sold to me is, like, you know what it is? It's a overproduction of testosterone. Like, people were always telling it as, like, you're a hyper male.
Yeah.
Like, you have uber alpha.
Yeah, it's the only alpha male thing I have about me is that I lost my hair.
Yeah. The sheer amount of sperm in me is, like, pushing
There's no room for hair in here.
This is all cool.
Yes, I never did it. And also, it's like a lifelong commitment. And if you do it for a while and then stop, you lose the effectiveness. And I don't know. I just said I'm just a bald guy, and it's not like I was this like super good looking dude with hair.
Right.
I heard some stand up comedian. His name's Rich Duncan, I think, made this joke. But it was like when you go bald, people are like, ladies aren't going to like you now that you're bald. And he's like, well, it's not like it was a nonstop parade of women when I had hair. It's not like I was such a looker that I'm like losing this like strength of myself. So,
yeah.
So it didn't cause for you as like an actor. I mean, because
I was starting acting late, right? So I started improv when I was 30 and I was already starting to bald. I think the very first time I went on a commercial audition, I was 35.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was already my look.
Right.
So that part didn't bother me, but it was still traumatic. I still felt like 10 years older the day I got my first like short haircut.
Yes.
It was like I was walking around just completely naked and defeated is what I felt like. I mean, I remember the day. Like, yeah, I just remember seeing people for the first time and being so depressed.
I don't totally get that. Like, I mean, I feel like that's common, but I never felt uncomfortable with being bald. I always just was like, well, I'm a bald guy. I don't care.
Right.
You know? So what is that?
A low self-esteem, a lack of confidence.
yeah.
I think being sensitive to actual societal pressure that you don't feel, I guess.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom. But yeah, that just speaks to your good upbringing, or
There was not the upbringing. No, it's not that. Sure.
No. Definitely wasn't confidence.
I learned it somewhere, but it wasn't, maybe it was not from Chuck.
Yeah,
maybe it was you already had to overcome things that were threatening your confidence enough that baldness was sort of like a weak assault on your confidence based on things you'd already had to overcome.
I think that is
you know, like an unsupportive father figure, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, coming out to New York City with a bunch of smarty pants without having gone to college.
Right.
So you already were sort of like had bolstered some sort of confidence machine. Right.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think that's what it is.
And you were owning it.
Yeah.
You were doing it almost defiantly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know what mine was. I told Charlie this, like I had my first girlfriend. I told her I was losing my hair, and it happened in Spanish class. Stephen Klein came up behind me and went, "Holy shit, Husky's losing his hair!" And the whole class.
What age?
This was 16. Oh. Everybody rushed around my head.
That's like a bad dream.
It was like a totally bad dream. I just sat there. Everybody's like, "Oh, you're right. It's going right here."
Oh my gosh!
And so
the whole class rushing over to closely examine your physical
to look at like I just jumped off a building and they're looking at like my dead body on the pavement or something.
I want to play a game now.
Okay.
But I need you guys to tell me what is your second biggest physical insecurity. So I'll go first. So mine is my height.
Okay.
Baldness is number one. And then it's, I wish I was taller.
Okay.
And then it's sort of like just general body build, like just kind of wishing I was more. Those are like just the three basic physical insecurities I have.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like huge. I'm not like walking, but if I was sort of given some wishes from a genie, and I'm wondering if I had to pick height or baldness.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I would get taller first and stay bald.
Oh, yeah?
Rather than get the hair.
But interesting.
Do you guys have anything you could do that comparison on, or do you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I go in and out of like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm too skinny, and then sometimes I'm like, I'm fine, and that part I'm like, I could do something about that. It's sort of, I mean, I know you have that condition where you can't
work
out.
Right, I'm not able to exercise or
improve your body.
I know.
Yeah, I would. I mean, gosh, I've got the willpower and the discipline.
Yeah, it's too bad that you.
But that is a question we might ask people. Is like, if you could do it all over again, would you stay bald? Would you try
medications? Oh, do you ever wish you had done it?
I do not.
I don't either, because at the time it was like I knew couldn't afford it, mm-hmm. and the side effects were too weird.
Yeah,
and I'm very protective of like what happens in my body.
It's like sex drive and mood stuff, right? I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but isn't it like it messes with your sex drive and it messes with your mood? Or something and like
the irony of using a hair product to get hair to attract women and then lose your sex drive.
I know,
it
also
really
make
funny.
You a grumpy piece of shit. It's like I will never get laid now, but I am beautiful.
Yeah.
Charlie, is there any? But I mean, you're so hyper confident. There's no other.
What, my physical appearance? Yeah. Oh, being fat. I constantly am like, I'm so fat.
So
I wish
if somebody,
fat.
If a genie said to you, all right, I can either give you luscious hair of whatever you pick, it'll be great, no trick, or your body can be the body that you would have.
Right.
What do you pick?
The body that I could have.
Yeah.
I like being, I would not be unbald if a genie offered me
I think
me
if
a
I was super jacked, I'd like to be bald. I think it is kind of Jason Statham. It's
like totally.
Super cocky.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even need the hair.
I'm Robert Evans, and does it seem like everything's kind of falling apart? That's because it is. First off, climate change is hitting a lot harder than our most optimistic predictions had anticipated, and that's leading to infrastructure falling apart. It's leading to food and everything becoming more expensive. It's just going to cause a lot of continued problems and weird problems. Like, you know, remember when toilet paper wasn't available? That kind of weird. It's going to keep happening, and we're also going to continue our lurch into authoritarianism. And that can be kind of scary. But the good news is that when things start to fall apart, we all have an opportunity to replace them with something better, to build a new world from the ashes of the old. On my new show, It Could Happen Here, Monday through Friday, we'll chronicle the collapse, yes, but we're also going to talk to visionaries and thinkers who have ideas about what could replace it, and who are going out there in the world right now to try to build something better. So, listen to It Could Happen Here on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Strawberry Spring, based on a short story by Stephen King. Is someone there? I can't see you through the fog. Oh, it's you, thank God. Oh, please! No, 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 don't! Help!
Now, there was a murder on the campus of New Sharon College. Sources close to the investigation tell us that it was a female co-ed, late teens to early 20s. We'll have more.
Hello?
Henry, have you heard the news?
Yeah, just now on the radio.
There was a murder on campus. It has all the signs.
Are you telling me?
We can't be sure, but as of right now, it looks like Spring-Heeled Jack is back.
Strawberry Spring, starring Garrett Hedlund and Milo Ventimiglia. Produced by Audio Up Media and iHeartRadio. Listen to Strawberry Spring on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Maddie.
And Kenzie Ziegler, and we have a podcast called Take 20.
This is so exciting.
I know, we've been wanting to do this for so long.
It's been a long time coming, but I feel like we're in a really good point in our lives where we have a lot to talk about.
I'm actually really happy that I grew up with you because I could not do it alone.
Oh my gosh, that got really emotional.
Well, it's true.
It took a while to get to this point.
We hated each other.
I know.
Like, I hated you so much.
I know. We used to tell each other that too, which is terrible.
Okay, but honestly, I don't think we hated each other that much because we would sleep in the same room.
Every night, even though we'd fight.
I'm so excited for everyone to get to know us on a personal level and not just through social media. So this is going to be really interesting and fun.
I know. I was literally saying today, I was like, I wonder if we're going to like fight.
I feel like there will be lots of laughs.
You know what's so bad? Once we start laughing,
we can't stop.
We can't stop.
Nope.
That's going to be a huge problem.
No.
But listen to Take 20 on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking Bald, yeah.
I played some roles where they do a wig for me, and a bummer is when they're like, oh my God, you look so good with hair.
Yes.
You're like,
really?
You look so good.
Yeah. I had this happen. If I'll do like some, if I'm wearing the dumbest wig, okay? Like the cheapest, most obviously fake wig for some like UCB sketch or some like midnight show, which is like a $5 wig from like 7-Eleven or something. When I put it on, people will still say, looks good. And I'm like, this looks good? This looks better than my head?
That's amazing.
This like insane like, weird John Travolta 1979 wig.
What if that was sort of like a, because I feel like there was a period of time when, it's preferable for someone to wear a toupee or wig or a piece or something as opposed to.
The reaction I get from wigs is the only time that made me think toupees make sense. I'm like, well, they know it's fake.
And they like it.
So I guess if I just do a crappy toupee that is like a different tone than all my skin coloring, it's all right. Or
it is. I mean, the equivalent is someone who, has breast augmentation or whatever, plastic surgery.
Right.
And it's the line is like, well, they're just doing it for themselves because it gives them more confidence. Or it's like, it's so clearly done out of insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, there aren't many fake hair jobs that are sort of like, oh yeah, I never knew that was coming.
It just looks so bad. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's funny. They haven't, since men are in charge and this is a patriarchy and all the scientists are men and all the rich people are men. If we haven't beaten baldness by now, it's not over.
Yeah.
They fixed like limp dicks, but they can't fix baldness.
Yeah, it's like, totally true.
It's never getting better.
We're never going to know what dreams are, and we're never going to cure baldness.
And they're probably already like, in the future, this is going to be a hindrance. Like hair is going to be a real problem in the future for whatever reason. This could be causing global warming.
When the aliens come.
Hair could be causing global warming. Yeah, when it's flooded, you want better resistance when you have to swim everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. The flood.
When we're in canals, the bald guys are going to be able to get everywhere faster.
Yeah. I was on swim team. I had hair then.
Did you ever have long hair, though? Because when I knew you to have hair, it was still quite short.
I had long hair when I was like 20. I had like down to my shoulders hair and a huge
beard.
Nice,
dude.
Yeah.
Did you do, I did a last hurrah kind of grow it out when I found out.
I did that.
Oh, that's so fun. I never did that and I regret never rocking out my hair.
And my hair was very thin anyway and stuff. So it looked terrible. Like it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can move my hair around and stuff.
Are you in touch with Stephen Klein, like on Facebook or something?
I should reach out to him.
We should have him on. talk about
what
that
if he's
moment?
Doing no, great? What if he's like just
he's
like
just
a,
got
this
a fucking
wealthy,
awesome head
comes
hair.
In like a Fabio
he pulls
like
in
hair.
A Porsche, his hair's blown in the wind.
He does the exact same thing. Stephen oh my Clark. God, Husky's even more bald now.
Come here, gather around everybody.
Hey, I got all the games.
And somehow we do. We're like, you know what? I've never taken a good look at Husky's head. Now that Steve Klein is telling me to, I want to really see what's going on there.
What is Steve Klein? What does he do for a living? He sounds like a realtor to me.
No, he's a doctor. He's a sports doc. He's
oh
like,
my
sports.
God! For jocks?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Completely. I hope jocks get better.
And that's a great transition into bald controversy of the week.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you have segments on this show.
We have to.
We have a segment called Bald Controversy of the Week.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, this is an old-ass controversy, but I'm bringing it up now.
Ooh.
GQ released its list of the 100 most powerful bald men in the world.
I didn't know that.
Which I have a comment on that, but go ahead.
Guess who number one was? Husky, you may know already, but...
God, I have no idea. I have no idea. Telly Savalas is who I thought.
he didn't even make the list.
Okay. Carl Rove.
He was on there, but he was like 30s.
I know.
Okay.
He's in the past.
Number one, Michael Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Now,
I don't even think of him as bald.
Me neither, because he's a chosen bald, isn't he? I think he just shaves his head.
No, I think he's got a ring.
He has a ring. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was the controversy to me was like...
Yeah.
I was like, I think he shaves, and I don't know if that counts.
He just started doing it so young.
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember when he had hair, but it was like, it was still like before he had a championship that he was shaving his head.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember scrutinizing his head one time. Like, not that I do this, but I was like looking for hope. And I was sort of like, oh, yeah, no, he shaves his head.
That's a really interesting show. I just don't think of baldness as one of his iconic features.
No.
The way like Jason Statham, I think of him as bald.
He's a bald guy, totally. Yeah.
Okay, this is...
Weirdly, Terry Crews, I think of him as bald, but not Michael Jordan. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think, but we talked about this earlier. I feel like physically like ripped dudes and stuff, and athletes a lot of times, like, it doesn't even add up.
It doesn't.
Stick out. You're like, oh, you're just aerodynamic, or this is part of what you've
you're
evolved
so
into.
You're just so clean and fit that hair had no place.
On GQ's list of the 100 most powerful bald men, there was probably 20 athletes. And I had that same thought with every single one of them. I'm like, oh, yeah, he is bald.
Yeah.
But I never once thought of him as bald.
That list basically was just like, oh, this is kind of only the famous bald people. Like the list wasn't the most powerful ones. It's just like, hey, this
here's
guy's bald.
The famous bald people in the world. There's 100 of them.
The gutsiest list, be the most 100 powerful, unattractive men would be like the list I want for whatever reason.
Yeah, totally.
Bald and schlumpy, totally out of shape, odors, whatever it is, but they have a massed power somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, and it was weird. The ranking of it, like David Cross was way up there.
He was way up there,
but it's because he's famous, not powerful necessarily.
Yeah,
he's not more powerful than Karl Rove, right?
I know. Why are there not? It seems like there would be just all. And was Putin on there?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody, he was like five.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Was it throughout history? You know, like
I think
Lenin.
Living now.
Okay,
makes sense. Yeah,
currently bald and living.
Yeah, bald and alive.
Bald and alive. It's a good reality show.
Will, do you have any closing thoughts on baldness? Or
stay strong, and if it's going away, give over to it.
Mm-hmm.
Give over
Surrender.
To it. Go to La Poubelle, go in the bathroom, and it'll tell you if it's time.
Yeah. See every
go
inch
to La
of
Poubelle
it.
On Franklin Avenue, and just take a pee, and you'll be like, you'll know.
Yeah.
If you walk out of there still feeling good about your hair, keep it.
The mirror will speak to you. Yeah. Your reflection will say to you, it's time.
And maybe this is just sort of my cross to bear, but you are putting sun, like you're protecting your pate, right?
Yeah.
You sunscreen, right?
You sunscreen.
Yeah. Do I look like I don't?
No. We talked about that in the last episode.
It is one of my great fears. Yeah.
I wear a hat a lot outside too. Like it's just so.
Yeah. Sunscreen and hat.
I had to explain to my daughter. She's like, we wear hats a lot. I was like, I'm bald.
The sun is the enemy.
I was like, the sun is just, I might as well just put my head in the.
I'm looking for shadows all the time when I'm out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the heat and I like the weather in LA, but it's just like, I can't.
He's
going
to protect the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get a little afraid of having sort of like, you know, a shiny, shiny white, you know, discolored orb and then a little bit of color in my face, you know?
Yeah.
Like, descriptions of yourself are really funny. It's like this horrific creature.
Yeah, I guess it's a farmer tan, but for your face or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, I did see a farmer's tan on the head, this guy one time when I was down south. He took his hat off and it was just like glowing. It was like, oh my God.
Oh, geez. There's no time, but we should talk about how much makeup you get put on when you're an actor and you're bald.
I'll talk about it really quick. That's good.
It's like the worst thing. There's no camera sophisticated enough to handle baldness because the makeup people, they powder me every 10 seconds.
Oh, my God. The funny thing is like the disproportionate amount of time you spend in the hair chair. You sit down and you're
so
like,
funny.
He's good.
Yeah. No time at all.
Oh, you're in makeup forever. Yeah. My question is, why do they have me even go to the hair person?
Yeah, I know.
They do it every time. I'm like, there's nothing's happening.
Yeah, good for me.
They maybe like do a like
a cursory,
a cursory little pat down. Just and then they're like, okay, I think you're all set.
Yeah, I think you don't have any hair, so you're good.
And I have to fight them because I have it a little bit shaggy. They habitually will comb it over.
Oh, really?
No matter what. And I'm like, no, just comb it back. Don't do the comb over. And there's one lady who like secretly on set kept kind of coming up and trying to comb it over.
Yeah.
Like she had this like, gotta make you
I
look.
I cannot handle.
I will emasculate.
all right. Well, thanks for coming on Bald
Talk. Thanks for having me, guys.
I think it was probably a worthy use of, you know, your time on this planet.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're giving voice to so many.
I feel important and valued.
Oh,
and
great.
I feel like I'm nourished.
Okay, right. Good.
And here's a Groupon for a toupee.
Oh, thanks so much. I'll give it a shot.
All right. Try it out.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here on Bald Talk. We want to thank Will Hines once again.
Yes.
And
improv book.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen to his podcast.
Which is currently playing?
Currently playing, yes.
All right.
Screw it. We're just going to talk about comics.
I love that.
On the Campfire Media Network, but Google that title, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to all of you for listening, especially you baldies.
Keep it long or keep it short.
That's the choice.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Life is unfair when you lose all your hair, but now you've got someone to talk to. Brian and Charlie have a hairless party, and they are all there to invite you. No hairdos, no shampoos, interviews, only on Bald Talk.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear. Because for years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So keep the animals safe, especially the cute shirtless one. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I am Rashawn McDonald, the host of Money Making Conversations podcast. Yes, I speak to celebrity CEOs and industry leaders, and yes, they do tell me the secrets to their success. And I help secure amazing guests on my show because I got relationships, including Tyler Perry, Stephen A. Smith, Lonnie Love, Cedric the Entertainer, Patti LaBelle, Nick Cannon, Angela Yee, and many more. This is Rashawn McDonald. Listen to Money Making Conversations on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get back to kissing the cheeks of my grandbabies, making Sunday dinner with a house full of family and lots of laughs.
COVID-19 has changed how we live and how we feel. But now there are vaccines, and they are the very first step that let us get back to what we miss most. It's okay to have questions.
Is it safe?
Should I wait?
Now, get the facts. Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org so you can make an informed decision when vaccines are available to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.